I arrived here, I would say, about 6 years ago. We moved from Sydney. Well, I've been wandering around the world, so I lived previously to Sydney. I lived in New York and in Vienna and in Tel Aviv. So,
why Blandford in the Upper Hunter?
No idea. The house was advertised and we were looking to move away from the city. And we came to see it and we just didn't want to leave.
Now, there's a number of artists that have moved here from the metropolitan area. Is it because the scenery perhaps gets those creative juices running?
I don't really know what it is, but there is something here that embraces you. I mean, like, we were embraced the moment we arrived here. And as I said, we didn't want to leave. The view is not as dramatic as, let's say, the Blue Mountains or the Great Ocean Road. But there is something very soothing and pastoral about the area here. And I think it's conducive to somebody that is a creative person, that nature doesn't really overwhelm you, but it helps you.
Absorption?
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't know. It's the colors, it's the rolling hills, it's the birds. I mean, like, you can hear the birds and the river and... There is something very soothing about living here, and it is conducive to creating, more than, for me anyway, more than in other places that might be more devastatingly beautiful. But then you sit, you know, in front of the Blue Mountains, for instance, and you said, what else can I do? I mean, like, you watch Mother Nature and it's a creation, and you say, well, I can't do anything better than this. Here it's a little, you know, you think you can still contribute something.
Well, let's have a look and see how that's translated into your work of art as a painter. How would you describe your painting?
Well, I don't know. I find it difficult to describe it because a lot of people ask me to slot myself into some kind of a compartment, and I feel very reluctant to do it. I mean, I am a realistic painter. I deal with elements that are in nature or object that man-made object, and I try to create a little twist so it's not really obvious what you saw there, and then you think, I mean, there's something different, and so it's not really surreal, and it's not really realistic, and it's not abstract. And although the concepts are quite abstract, and some have said that my work is very cerebral and you need to think about it, I like to look into a small segment of something that I want to express. I mean, like, sort of enlarge it and look at the it's like going from the micro to the macro rather than the other way around. Instead of going to the vista, I'm taking a segment of it, like a pebble instead of a beach, and a leaf instead of a tree, and a blade of grass instead of a whole field. I am also concerned with the intrusion that are made on nature. Not necessarily man-made intrusion. I mean, although some of them I have been painting tracks of tractors or tracks of cars, and so they are sort of intrusion, but even a bird's nest is an intrusion. I mean, like, it rearranges nature, or an ant's nest is an intrusion. It rearranges certain things. It's like all kind of holes and burrows that are being dug. So I sort of look into these areas with almost like a magnifying glass, and try to drag you into my paintings.
You don't have to drag me inside the studio now because you've whet my appetite enough as it is. It's a fairly large studio, I might add, as we move inside, and a little bit of background music. Hope it's the ABC, huh?
Not really. It's Beethoven. It's the pastoral.
Well, he's part of ABC,
yeah,
I think.
Well, I guess so.
It is large, and in fact, you can understand why you want to spend so much time here. Well, it's a studio too, by the look of it. It's got a fair bit of artistic design about it too. I don't know whether that's created or whether it was there when you first first arrived?
Well, it was a stable, a working stable with 8 stalls, and I loved the structure. And so what I did is we renovated it in such a way to keep the structure, the wooden, the iron bin, the post, and sort of created this high tech with the white color bond. And so I just love this place, and I can just spend all my days here.
I can understand too about the inspiration that you would get out of painting in a studio like this, and I can see immediately your connection with nature, because as we look around the studio now, we can see so much of nature in those paintings.
Well, yes, and I also bring it home to the studio. You can see I collect nests. By now, people bring me nests, and some of them are just gorgeous.
You painted nests. Prolifically almost, have you?
Well, lately, yes. I've been very intrigued by the organization, by the process. It started when I was watching actually a bird making a nest, and then somebody wrote me quite a large nest. I think it's a magpie. I was very intrigued by this chaos and order, this combination of both things. So I started painting it, and I'm still painting it. I'm creating. I had a show in Sydney that I called Habitat, which I painted bird's nest and ant's nest and some burrows. And now I have another show coming in Newcastle that is also going to be sort of, I'll call it intrusions this time, not Habitat. But it still, it will have bird's nest, and it will have this one. It's two panels of one panel is a field of grass, and there is a depression in it, almost like a track or something that creates sort of a hole there. And then on the other panel, there is it's not finished, but it will be sort of the earth and soil and some stones. And there is just the size of, there's a bunch of grass there that is the size of what's missing in the other part, in the other panel. Now, this has been a theme of mine for a long time, and it's been following me, I think, since I started being an artist from the 70s. And it's a convex idea. And I'm very intrigued by this idea, and every time I use some other elements to do it, and it's just the idea that the same line that creates one creates the other. One exists by virtue of the other.
Well, such a variation in the size of them as well. We've got some that are a couple of meters by a meter and a half, and even larger than that. But we can also see on the easel at the moment there's a small one. It's a bird's nest, but the intricate design and work you've put into that. Is it a long process?
It is. It is quite long. I mean, like the smaller ones obviously take less, but it's relatively the smaller one takes me longer. Actually, this is a part. The small one is one panel from 9 panels, so they are together create, and I call it variations, and it will be a variations of the bird's nest.
On the left, I can see, I think, the bird's nest, which...
This is one. Somebody just brought me this one. Isn't it stunning? And all this... That's what's so intriguing. Every bird puts its character inside the nest. Some of them are complete chaos. The other ones are so orderly. It's like recycled art by themselves, because what they do with it. And it's quite amazing to watch them do it. And then they look to see when it's finished, and you wonder. I once wondered when I watched the bird build her nest, and I was wondering, when does she decide that it's finished? I mean, like, she hovered around and looked and looked, and then suddenly said, okay, that's final. So it's like the notion of perfection also existed with birds.
Your art has been displayed all over the world, I think. You've had exhibitions in New York as well and other parts of the world. And that obviously requires some funding. Are you able to get some return for your work? It looks magnificent. Do you get rewards for it?
Well, I have to admit that I've been quite fortunate, and my work has been selling over the years. So I managed to make a living from my art, which is quite a rare thing, I know, but...
So is it about gathering a reputation as an artist?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, you have to start, you build yourself and you have to exhibit. And, I mean, when, since I arrived to Australia, which is in 1990, I have had, I think, about 16 or 17 solo exhibitions in Adelaide, in Sydney, a lot in Sydney, and in Melbourne, and then I had in Armadale in the museum there, and even in Musselbrook and in Newcastle. So, yes, you have to continue showing that the investment was worthwhile, and the more you exhibit and the more there is a demand, the prices go up, and you hope to sell.
And when do you realize that you may have made it, so to speak, as an artist?
I haven't realized this yet. But this book, I guess this book that just came out, it's sort of, it's a stamp of recognition. And, I mean, every exhibition, it's a build of, you know, you realize, yes, people are coming, people that you don't know are coming, people are talking about it. And, so you realize, yes, if people that you don't know are talking about it, you've made it somehow.
I guess the reputation is enhanced a little. When you have followers of your art, you have people that purchase one after the other of your work. Have you got that? Are you there yet with people following your work?
Well, it's a little difficult to say that for myself that I have a fan club. But I do have people that, I mean, like some of my collectors have bought 12 paintings. And I have another one with 10. Yes, they keep coming back for more, which is nice.
Where can we, so where next can we see some of your work on exhibition?
Well, in Newcastle, I have a show coming in November in Newcastle at the John Miller Gallery.
Intrusions? Are we getting an opportunity to see that there?
Yes, you will have an opportunity to see some of the nests and some of the intrusions. Well, I always wrote, but I secretly was, I sort of like a closet writer. As a matter of fact, once somebody said to me that they remember that when I was a teenager, I said that I wanted to be a writer. And they were quite surprised that I became a painter. And I didn't remember this. But secretly, I always wanted to be a writer. I always adored writers, and I loved reading, and so, but I didn't think I will have a book out, because I've lived in between languages for the last 30 years. English is not my first language, and I lived in countries that either spoke German, which is also not my first language, or English, like I lived in New York for 10 years and now in Australia for 15, 16 years. So painting has been really my preferred mode of expression. I thought, well, there nobody can say I have the wrong grammar or the wrong word or the wrong vocabulary. I can always get away with saying that that's what I intended. So I didn't have really the self-confidence to go out with what I wrote. And besides, I never thought anybody would be interested in all this suffering of the artist and all this self-obsession with, oh, I don't know what I'm going to paint and I'm not sure it's coming out right and why do I do it and what for. It's really self-inflicting suffering that I never thought anybody would be interested in it. And I don't write stories and I don't write short stories. I just write things that I think. And I write it, there are times that I'm stuck in between languages, so I will write it in two or three languages, the same sentence.
What it does do, I notice, that reading the book gives you the impression that you're taking us through your work. You're telling us what you're thinking at the time of painting or how you're going to approach this painting, but it appears as though you've related it back to, like your work, nature as well, and you have some inner thoughts about nature. And why you're doing it, how you're doing it?
Well, I have to say that my biggest source of inspiration will be nature. And I'm not sure I take you through the paintings, or more like through my trepidation and worries what I want to say and if it's valid what I want to say. And I was told by a few people that read it that it's a look into the way an artist thinks. And Philip Adams, who just launched the book on Tuesday, he said that I do take you through the creative process, and it's such a unique document. Now, I don't know all this. I know that that's what I write, and I thought that everybody else does this. And I know that many artists do keep a journal, and they go through this. But I have to admit that a few journals or diaries of artists that I read were more about which exhibition they had and the people that they met and what they did. And I don't record these things. I record what the birds did, or what the chooks did, or what the dogs did, and the flood of the river, or the shame of the river, or the sun. Somebody said that the book is a lot about light, the changing light. So my main concern in painting is the light. And I do try to paint light.
Well, you've done that in the book through the chapters representing the various seasons, of course, haven't you? But the journals began when for you?
The journal starts, I think, in about 2003. And what has happened then, I've kept a journal all my life, but as I said, I never thought it will get published. But I received, just when we arrived here, I received the somebody gave me the present, Patrice Newell book, The Olive Grove. And I was reading it, and there she was describing watching, I think it was the lilies or the irises blooming. And I was really, and then she was talking also about one of her daughter's friends picking up the flowers of the strawberries and giving it to her as a present. And I said, oh, well, that's fantastic. Maybe I should write about my relationship to what's going on around me. It was very inspiring. And I started writing and listing what's happening to me here. Because it was a new experience, my relationship to a vegetable garden, to a huge 5-acre garden, and the river next door, and the changing light. And I will be watching the birds. Now, in Sydney or in any other city in the world that I lived, you will look through the window and you see activities. You see people walking, people going, people running, buses. And there is always something happening. I sit next to the window or in the kitchen or the back veranda, and I look at the birds and I look at the changing lights, and I find myself 2 hours later still looking at what's going on out there. So I thought, well, so I started writing in a different way than I used to. I started listing things that's happening here, like the pomegranates are not sprouting, and the frustration with the fruit trees, with the frost, with the drought, with the flood. And I really enjoyed it. So I got into recording different things in my journal than I used to. I would record anything that was happening, the music, the thunderstorms, the dogs running after butterflies, the ride-on is one of my discovered pleasures, going and on the ride-on mower, and I just love it. And so I started describing all this feeling. And